This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's so typical, but yeah, do you know what I mean?
Fuck
It is so typical. He's running off, but yeah.
Bollocks, is it? I'd have Bermondsey any day.
So yeah, so we can get him in now. So yeah, I've got all the what you call it. I was trying to see if I had the chimney one, but I haven't. That's the problem. We don't own the training ground. We've sold that, but I think we've extended the lease on that. That's owned by Oxford University. We don't own the football pitch. We don't own the we don't own anything. The only asset we have are players. Maybe that's why the youth are doing really well and they're trying to focus that. And maybe that was why Edwards come in the first place, to help develop that youth and potentially look at selling it off. That's the only option. Yeah. That's where the money is, I think, where if we can sell a few of those youngsters off for half decent money. So, yeah, there we go. Look, Omar is in the piss.
Let's be honest, right? And I said it earlier. There'll be the scouts go to these under 23 games and under 18 games, and they do whatever they do. If there's no way in hell someone's looked at that result and gone, so Millwall's under 21s or 23s or whatever it is have scored 20 goals or in two games. Let's go and have a look at their centre forward. Let's go and have a look at their wingers. Let's go and have a look at their number 10 or whatever position that clubs need. And you've got to think that whilst we only see it from an outside point of view, you've got to think the club must be thinking, right, we've got some really good players now. This is the time to, like, if we sold one of these youngsters in the under 23s, they never played for the first team. You get £3 or £4 million for them. Happy days. I'll take that all day long right now because we need it for the first team.
Yeah.
But I'll totally agree with you. It's the people behind the scenes. Are they looking at that and really pushing these players, and are we really going to negotiate the highest amount of transfer fees for these players? That's where it potentially could all fall down.
We'll have to ask Dinor's agent Joe Zampa to comment, whether or not he's been sold or not. Yeah, so just blank screen.
Alex there, so different age groups, 1-7-0 and 12-0. I get it was two different teams, but what I'm saying is that it's still the youth setup. So people will be looking at Millwall's youth setup as a whole and going, right, these must have some really cracking young players in their youth under setup. 18s. Let's go and have a look.
Was it under 18s, under 20s, wasn't it?
I think so. I think so. But, it's the same at any level of football. You know, if you've got a strong youth system, you can potentially, make a lot of money without even seeing him in the first team. And that's what's happened with Adozie. That's what potentially could have happened with Lovelace. Obviously, we missed the boat a little bit with him trying to tie him down and stuff. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what you guys were talking about before. I didn't hear much what was going on. Are we hopeful for Sunday? The chat,
yes.
The guys in the chat, are we all hopeful?
Yep. Hello, Millwall Poland. Hello. Hello. I don't know how to say Poland. I don't know how to say hello in Polish, do you? No, but he's going to tell us.
Just wave.
So, yeah, no, we're all hopeful. You had the supercomputer obviously, tweet from Ben and whatnot. That was quite off-putting. I'm looking at the YouTube one, and obviously it's slightly delayed, and I just looked up a sec, and you were waving at me, Stephen. That was quite off-putting.
I was saying hello to Millwall Poet.
Yeah. It says you waved.
Here he goes. He's come back.
He's come back. So, yeah. It's Polish. What's up? Oh, okay.
No, the one above it. This one.
Yeah. Simask. I don't know. Maybe not. We think we win. I think we're beaten 2-0. And a few others got in. But we'll get the scores in a minute, mate. So far, in the poll on who will win Leeds versus Millwall, Leeds win 30%, draw is 30%, and Millwall is 39% for a win. That's what they're saying in the audience at the moment. 56 of you took the time to vote, but only 18 of you have took the time to press like. Come on, that's disgraceful. Oh, fuck me, he's back.
You tell him, Mickey. Sorry, there's a queue for toilet, like Millwall. Sorry. No. It's Papa Cloud and there's a walk in all sorts. Ridiculous.
Would you, Mickey and Omar, now you're back, right now, obviously confident of a win, but do you get the feeling that we might go up there and try and do what we did at Blackburn and just not bother at all?
It's like what I said to you when we was up there with Stephen at Blackburn. I was like, I'll take a 0-0 right now, no shots on target.
Oh, I'll take it. But the way Harris has spoke, do you not get the feeling the way that Harris has spoke is as if he's not going to do that, though? Like, he wants to, like, he made a comment, didn't he say something like, we've got to, like, shoot our shot or something?
He said something to the extent, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Like, I think he's saying all the right things, but knowing Harris, he'll take a 0-0. And I don't blame him. I really don't. I think it's going to be
Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy, that was a fucking superb comment, mate. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Is, I don't know if you're going to Leeds or the next home game. Come and see us and you will get one of these, mate. All right? I like your comments so much. I don't even have
that. It's a bar. I don't even fucking have that. Oh. Hang on a minute. Can I have one on Sunday? Jeez.
Yes.
I co-founded this podcast. I don't even have a key ring. Saw that.
Mate, I probably could have given you one when I last saw it. I just assumed you had one.
Here we go. I will be bringing these with me. Yes, two leads. And in here...
They'll have them off you, wouldn't they?
There is...
Yeah, I'd have this in a heartbeat, by the way. That Mill Pop is, Alpha.
So we've got... We have chat with chat ones. We've got Shut the Fuck Up, Joe. And we've got some Millwall podcast ones. All right. So if you're at Leeds on Sunday, come and see us and hopefully we'll do it. Come and see. We don't do elf bars. These are fucking Lost Marys, mate.
I love an elf bar. I've got a crystal bar. It's the better ones, but yeah.
Yeah. More looks we're on to turning thing. Oh, thingy. I've got one of them in my Range Rover. Did you know that Chris is a hairdresser, by the way, Omar?
I did know that. I heard the joke.
I was the second pressing the like at 7:20. Okay, there you go. Biggie's already got a key ring.
I'll give him my one because I love Biggie.
He's got a special one, I think. So, yeah, I'll have some key rings with me. So, yeah, we'll have some. I've got some different bits and pieces.
Just to go back to American Rovers comment. I recognise your name for a while, mate. So, thanks for coming in and always being involved in the chat. Anyone that's been around for a while, it's appreciated.
Are you based in the UK or America?
Anyway. Our team needs a refresh. Some players too old. Amazing to think that this is the team Harris put together in the first place. Being honest, with injuries, Harris has got the Fredbear attack. Yeah, and he's still getting results. Yeah. Which is why the man deserves 100%. Next season. Stephen, are you starting to warm to Harris being in charge next season?
A little bit, but on the basis that I think over the summer the recruitment has to be. I know this is going to sound stupid, but non-Neil Harris-like, if that makes sense. He's got to be looking at those different types of players. We know with the grafters, we've already got them in the squad. You need the quality. You need the kind of, if he's not going to play the ones he's got now, he needs to be bringing in the flair players or players that can create something out of nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the thing is, though, with
the French
with,
boy, sorry.
I bump into
give
the
my one Tomar as I see him more than into others. Him.
That's much appreciated. Last time I saw him, I was a bit worse for wear. I was like, hello, mate. I was like, but no, with back to your point, Stephen, Harris recruited all the players that are still here from the first time round. I'd argue Harris has got a good eye, though, for these players. When you say less Harris-like, he knows what a Mill player is, though. Not to throw
he does.
I throw a Mill player into the fire, by the way. So, but yeah,
he does. But if say for example, right now, I'm not saying that we're gonna go with this next season. But say you've got Jake Cooper, you've got Danny McNamara, Billy Mitchell, George Saville staying, Leonard staying, Fleming's here. So that's what six the keeper as well. Seven. You've got seven players. Maybe Sarkic buying into the Millwall type player. But if you can get four around them.
Call
to come in,
Matt Smith.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you can bring in players like, someone made a joke about winning the Euro Millions and bringing Sammy Smodics in, but players, someone that can come in that can be the difference as well as the Millwall type players. Because at the moment, we're putting out 11 Millwall type players and having three or four chances. Great, we're picking up points, and I'm really pleased about that.
Long term, not sustainable.
Yeah, it is if you're not picking 11 of them.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. If you've got a couple in there that can really, really make a difference, then maybe, who knows? But I'm warm. Listen, but I'm not the first one to say get the statue. Get if he keeps us up, get the statue, because we were dead. were dead and buried before he took over. So maybe he does deserve a chance. I don't know.
A lot of people are saying as well that he walks as well. Anthony's comment here saying he walks. I think Dan said the same thing to me the other day. Dan Riggs, you're in chat. I'm pretty sure you said something similar. But a lot of people saying get rid of him in the summer. But do you think we've given him like the 18-month contract as a token of a gesture to the man to say thank you very much and then we'll pay you up for a year? Is that what everyone's implying?
I honestly think if he keeps us up, I can honestly see us saying to him, we'll pay you off.
Listen, he come from a job, mate. You're not going to say, tell you what, come over here for us. Try and keep us up. If you don't keep us up, we're only going to give you a 3-month contract.
Well, he's got a free hit next year to have a go. And it's against the grain football. And we're never going to be a tiki-taka, a successful passing Mill side. We tried it with Edwards, albeit it weren't these players. We're not going to be that side. We've got the thing that Mill will thrive on, the thing that successful Mill sides are, is, you know, front foot, play it to the wingers, play it to the strikers and try and play from there. And we don't even have that at the moment, but Harris is still getting a result in there.
Well, yeah, there we go. If we stay up...
Don't carry on, get back in there.
Right, if we stay up... It's in the comments now, right? If we stay up, is it Harris for next season like Omar, yes or no?
Also, Omar, just a question back to you. We talked about giving Harris a free hit. We were at Blackburn. We were at Southampton. I'm going to go with away games more rather than the home games. It's a little bit different. Would you be happy as someone that goes to a lot of games, a lot of away games as well, would you be happy with 23 away fixtures next year playing for a 0-0?
So if we get 23 draws and 23 wins, we win the league, mate. So I'll be more than happy with that.
Take off the table that we're probably not going to win 23 home games.
We've won two out of two so far.
I can't really argue with that, can I, to be honest? But realistically, would you be happy turning up at places where you arguably Blackburn didn't do anything to beat us, really? We gave it away to them. Would you be happy going to all of those places just playing for a 0-0?
But did we play for a 0-0 at Southampton? Did we actually play for a 0-0? It was back against the wall, but we didn't turn up to Southampton. We turned up to not get beat, but
we scored early, though.
This is the same thing we because what's Millside notoriously good at? Winning corners and getting set pieces and scoring goals, a la last Saturday. Like this is what a Mill team, to me, in my lifetime supporting Mill, this is what a Mill team's good at. You know, getting down the wings, trying to put balls in the box, aim for two strikers. We don't even have two fit strikers at the moment, so we're aiming for one. But if Harris gets a chance to recruit in the summer, get some strikers in, gets a couple of wingers in that are going to have a go and take players on, put balls in the box. I'd be if you're telling me if what I think the Harris brief would be if he stayed for the summer and signed players, he'd sign a couple of wingers in, a left foot on the left, a right foot on the right, players that are going to take men on, have a bit of pace about them, have a go, and keep doing the same thing on repeat, and aim it into the middle and get chaos in the mid in the box. If that's what I'm going to get offered, I'll take that in a heartbeat. If that's what you're telling me it is, and that's what I know Neil Harris' Mill team is, I would take that. And I don't know if the chat agree or not, but in, that's what that's me. That's a Mill side. That's a Mill side. And I would get behind that and support that team all 46 games of the season.
Don't get me wrong. I would back a Neil Harris Mill team all the way. But the issue I have at the moment is we all, and I think there's a few people that have said this, we all hounded Gary Rowett for how he was trying to go about.
It's different though. You can't compare.
But was it though? But was it though?
Because he was trying to play five defenders. He even called it five in this interview done the other day on the podcast. He was trying to play three centre halves. Harris will never set up with back three and keeps it. He done it in a couple of games where he's like thinking, shit, this opposition are quite good. Let's try and see this out and try to defend against it. But Harris will never play five at the back at home because he knows a Mill team shouldn't be doing that. It was the first thing he said in his interview after the game Saturday. These fans don't want to see us doing that. They want to see us get the ball in the final third. At the moment, we can't do it too much because we've got injuries. But Harris knows what the brief is to be a Mill manager. He does. You can't disagree with me either, Stephen. I know you can't.
No. Their philosophies, Rowett and Harris's philosophies were very, very similar. It's cautious football.
Right, it's a lot more pragmatic. I'll give you that one. And Harris just knows. I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is. Under Rowett, the players lost the Millwall mentality, the Millwall, what it was to be Millwall. And Neil Harris has put that back in.
I don't disagree.
Harris
but
has
it's
got
what
the chest out on that touchline saying, I'm a Millwall manager. I represent them people in the stands. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need to do. And that is, and it's different. It's not the modern way of playing football. But Harris knows. I turn up on a Saturday after working all week because I want to see a Mill team have a go. And by defining what a Mill team do in my eyes, and the Mill successful teams in my lifetime, I'm talking having Sadler and Harris up front, Sadler and Moody and Harris. I'm talking Gregory and Morrison. I'm talking 4-4-2, two wingers on the sides that I'm going to take players on. I loved Paul Eiffel. I also hated him, but I loved Paul Eiffel too at the same time. Players that are going to have a go, take the ball, take a player on. It's not pretty, but it's
Oh, I agree. Listen, I would rather see us go into games knowing that that never say die attitude. But what I'm saying is that a lot of the fan base hounded out Gary Rowett because of the style of football and because it was boring and they didn't enjoy it and people weren't going. And I just wonder if Harris, they'll start to turn on him like they did on Rowett in a 46 season, like they did before. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
But Rowett and Harris, although I get where you're going with the comparisons, it's slightly different because I think with Rowett, it was reluctance to go to the Millwall way. It was more, we're going to be hard to beat and try and defend and then on the break score so a couple goals or whatever. It was a bit more like, under Harris, Harris knows what, it was two different things. You would never see a right side lump it to the forward areas. That would never happen. Harris's side is get two up top, try and hold it in the final third, and then replay. So I get the comparisons because but Harris wasn't chased out because his football was shit. Harris was chased out because he wasn't getting results and he was starting to go the other way. It wasn't because Harris's football was boring per se, I don't think. It was a little bit boring.
No.
But Harris's football was, your football was shit. Whereas with Harris, it was more like, Harris, thank you for so much for recovering us from a League One club to the Championship. After last season, we've given you 10 games a season. You've not really done it for us. Thank you very much. Off you go. But also, we didn't chase him out. He decided he had enough and wanted to get out of there. I think it's slightly different.
So just, and this is just based on last week's performance, and this is based on a few tweets that I've seen. I don't know names. I'm not going to mention any. Well, one, I think we all know, a well-known Millwall fan, shall we say, tweeted that what a difference a goal makes to last week's performance. So how they weren't happy, it was been miserable and moaning, da da da. You score a goal and it changes. So I know it's hard because we scored an 89th minute winner, but up to the 85th minute, would you say that you and the majority of the supporters and the chat as well, were you happy with what you saw from our team last week?
45. I was happy with the first 45. We could have been two up in the first half. Hardiman had that chance. There was balls in the box. We had a go first half by our standards of being safe. We still had a go.
Yeah,
but
our first half
was good. We should have been one or two up in second by half time on Saturday, in my opinion. And I'd argue that when we get to them wide areas where Leonard was overlapping a few times, if we had a conventional Neil Harris little and large up front, we might have got the end of some of them crosses. We might have actually scored a goal from them situations. Whereas at the moment, you've got Obafemi in there who's trying to pull off the defender and not really commit to going across the front post, or you ain't going to try and go tackle the back post. That side with two up front, with Morrison and Gregory, that season where we nearly got to the championship playoffs, I think we scored in the first half and we played the same way we did. So I was happy with the first half. Second half wasn't that great, but Harry said it himself. He thought the second half was shit, but then we managed to get over the line. But I thought the first half was, we should have and could have been one or two up at halftime.
On that, Cole, just to be clear, I am massively pro Neil Harris. I have been when we, you know, I think Mickey himself has even, you've even said to me, you love Neil Harris. Hold on a minute. Did you or did you not say that I'm pro Neil Harris? You've said to me on the show, I'm pro. Yes, you have. Right. Okay. Well, now he's just trying to throw me under the bus. There we go.
I
love the bloke, and I back him when he was appointed. I was looking forward to Southampton. I was looking forward to his first home game. I absolutely love the guy, and he gets us 100%. But my concern is that the club were trying to go in a completely different direction, maybe too soon, and I just struggle to see where the development is. Unless Harris's transfer policy completely changes to what we've seen in the past. But for now, he's the right man.
I don't think there's money there for the transfer. That's why I think it's going to be youth, and it's going to be look at the youth and look at where we're going. And
that's... But I also would argue, to Stephen's point, Mickey, there's nothing broken about Harris being in charge of Millwall. I don't feel...
No, there isn't. But in the summer, there will be, because he's going to lose 10 players.
Yeah,
five contract, five on loan, and that's where we need a different Neil Harris than what we've had in the past.
But I disagree. I think we should have the same. He has obviously evolved as a manager, but we should embrace that Millwall.
I think
that Millwall kind of mentality. I still think I don't think we need to evolve too much.
Do we go Mickey and Steve like an old married couple? Not so much the old couple, you know what I mean? But yeah. Do we do it this way? Do we just go, look, Neil Harris is here as an 80-month contract, right? Win, lose or bust next season. If he keeps us up, then do we just go for it? Do you know what I mean? Just go for it. Yeah, Mickey can't get a word in edgeways. It's a good job, JN, on the show tonight. Well,
Mickey's not here to talk about anything anyway. He's the producer. He knows it. We're the talent. He's
a prick.
Mickey keeps it all together. He holds it together. That's what Mickey knows that.
Bollocks, is it? I'd have Bermondsey any day.
I think we should just give him, if we stay up, then just go, fuck it, there you go. Just, you got one lifeline. Just he did take Cardiff to the playoffs, and could that just be, just go for it? I don't think he'd get massive investment. Use some of the youth, use some of the, you know, try and get Keith Moore in or something, you know, someone like that, get a, you know, an aging striker who just wants one last hurrah. And just go for it.
Look, if Harris is the man in charge, come the first game of the season.
If we beat Leeds on Sunday, then he ain't going nowhere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, if Harris is in charge, I just think that they may pay him up and there may be an agreement. But if he's the man in charge the first game of the season, I'll back him to deliver us a good season. I will back him 100%. But my concern is that there's lots of people that won't. And as soon as it goes wrong, we're in a bit of trouble because it's just going to turn.
I understand that. And by the way, Dan Riggs says he's dead. Well, stop drinking the dark fruits then, fella. Right, question for you both. If Neil Harris isn't, he keeps us up and he isn't your man for next season, who are you having in?
Well, I
remember,
don't have,
we haven't got the money.
He's staying. I'm on the Neil Harris bandwagon, mate.
Right, I want Stephen.
I want to have food to save next season.
Who are you having, Stephen?
I guess it'd be who's available. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. It's the same thing as when Rowett left. Who did we want? You know, it's the same thing when they were talking about Edwards. Who would we bring in? I'm not sure. As I say, if Neil Harris is in charge, I'll back him 100%. I'm just concerned of what could happen moving forward. I hope it doesn't. And if he does, and maybe if he does keep us up, considering the last time he tried to keep us up, Holloway had left us in such a mess. We were never, ever going to get anywhere. This time, he's come in just at the right time, I feel, to keep us up. So maybe he does deserve that chance. And, you know, we'll give him that. But there's a lot of people, I think, that would be unhappy with it.
But do you know what the importance of what he's done, right, Harris, is? What he's done in the four games he's been in so far, he's got the Den back to being the Den. And and it can't be undervalued. And also, like next season, say, for example, the football's similar to what it is right now, we won't lose many at the Den. And I think that will be enough. That's the bare minimum for me. Like, because that will pretty much guarantee a survival in my eyes. Yeah. If Harris is in charge next season, he's delivering what he's doing now at the moment at home, and there's a bit more quality in that side for a Neil Harris-esque Millwall side. I've done the numbers the other day, and I was like, look, he won 60% of his home games in charge. Over a 23-game season, that will keep us in the league. That will, because in charge of a 14,000-plus Den, and at the moment, we're getting them gates every week. So I think there's got to be some considerations there. I do get the argument about he's a stopgap, and I don't disagree to an extent, but I think he deserves another chance. Is what I'm trying to say to everyone, because everyone's like, listen, get rid of him. Time for him to, like, you know, once he keeps us up, we go again and try and reinvent the wheel again. But
I mean,
let's just embrace what Mill was about. What Mill was about.
Let's the line that. Says. Stephen, we're overachieving with our budget.
100%. We've overachieved every season in the division. I don't disagree with that at all. We really have overachieved. And there's a comment, Harris now knows the grass ain't greener. Neil Harris, I think it was...
no chance will we get Nigel Pearson. There's no chance in a million years, and I know that. And Ishmael, really?
No, not Ishmael. Someone said that Neil Harris... I can't remember what it was on TalkSport, or someone said that Neil Harris should have a job at Millwall for life because certain people fit at certain clubs. Mm. And he does. He fits with us. And I would never, ever dispute that. I just, as I say, I think he's earning the opportunity to have a crack at the Championship next season. And I'm sure that most of the supporters, if he does keep us up, will back him and will be there the first game of the season.
He needs two more wins, Stephen. He's doing it.
Well, and good luck to it. And if it's two more wins, I think we'll get two more wins from the last few games and be okay based on that logic. I just, as I say, I wouldn't want it to go down the route that supporters seem to think it's going to go down, and we turn up with Harris in charge, and then all of a sudden, all of this work he's put in for these 13 games is going to be thrown out the window. That's where I have a little bit of a concern, because people won't like it regardless of what he does this year. They just won't.
Yeah, I get your point. I don't disagree, because I think we said it the other day, like, if he loses the first five games of next season, what's it going to be like? And
tune in next season to hear Omar go Harris fucking out.
I will never call Harris to leave. I think I would call for pretty much anyone else that's in charge to leave, but I know if Harris is in charge and there's five defeats in a row, I know for a fact he's doing everything he can to try and change that. And if he doesn't, if he knows he's not good enough anymore, he'll leave like he did last time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he with won't Harris, he, yeah,
if
no, he won't.
Have his depth, he'll be like,
I'm see, sorry, John Reynolds has just hit on a nail there. Who would want to play for Harris once we've had a clear out at the end of the season?
Yeah, a lot of players would. I don't know. I think they would. I think there's efficient players out there that would suit a Harris style play. There is players out there. Football's going the modern way, but let's try and embrace what we are and keep on that. Let's just keep. There's players out there. There's talent out there that can be effective at what we do. The recruitment's got to be spot on, and that's when it's you've got to trust the recruitment team.
And that's it, isn't it? You've got to trust the recruitment team to deliver players to Harris to play a certain way of at the day.
Aldo will know what Neil Harris
I think. Aldo, yeah, but I, yeah, he would. But I also think that Harris is more likely to control the players who he's going to be getting and not listening to, you know, oh, this player's stats good. Harris likes the modern way, but he also likes the old-fashioned way of going and watch players. Mm-hmm. And also, he's a football mind. He's been involved in football for ever and a day. His kids play football at a good level because one of my customers' lads plays with Harris's lads or used to play with Harris's lads and stuff. So they play at a good level. So he knows football inside out. So I think, he is a through and through. But again, he is the... If you ask someone to describe someone who is Millwall, there's probably only a couple of people who've played or been around us, and that would probably be Bob Pearson, Kitchener, Harris.
Yeah,
100%. And that would be, you know, there wouldn't be a massive... I mean, I don't know, get in the comments. Give us your five people who've been around Millwall over our lifetime who you would class as Millwall people. But I'm gonna mention
Jimmy Abdu. This is coincidence because Omar and I bumped into him on the way when we stopped. Alan Dunn.
Yeah, Alan Dunn.
I would say Alan Dunn is someone that really I think he was Millwall for him. I know he got a lot of stick during his time, but for me would run for a brick wall for us.
This is what we need to do then. We need to get Kit Harrison as manager, keep him as manager, get Dunny as assistant manager, Paul Robson as defensive coach, get Steve Morris as attacking coach, David Ford as goalkeeping coach, and off we go. Let's have a go next season. Let's go. See where that takes. The thing is, though, what's underrated about Harris, and also I think there was a few comments about it to the effects above it, there was something about how he turned Tanganga around, but he also talks about how he's, like, the players want to play for him. Like, Billy Mitchell spoke about his aura when he walked in, because obviously Billy Mitchell came from the academy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even my girlfriend loves him now, I think, in a set of news interview, right?
Rhino, definitely.
Rhino for sure. But also with Harris, it's a similar comparison to Ange Postecoglou at Spurs. He's built, like, Ange's obviously got an idea about football, completely different to Harris. He wants to play progressive attacking football. But also with Harris, the players all love to play for him. Like, every player in that squad, he will, if they're limited. So in a sense, what he's asked them to do is not quite like, you know, for example, Tanganga is probably used to playing a certain way of football. He's not used to kicking the ball long every week. But what Tanganga's got from Harris is the full backing and confidence. And that year where we nearly got into the playoffs and the championship, and they're all going to have it every Thursday, and Tim Cahill's back at the club, there's a feel-good factor amongst the squad, which then I think benefits the club and benefits results and performances. And everyone's in it together and sticks up for each other, which I think also is what Andrew's getting at Tottenham, where, like, the players buy 100%. Into it. The players are all got a smile on their face. I spoke about it the other day in the podcast I'd done, where, like, Jake Cooper was asked after the game by Millwall TV, you know, how do you feel that Harris is back? And he was like, do I even need to answer it? Like, I'm buzzing. And he was like blushing like a little kid. Like, he was so excited the fact that he's back. The players buy into Harris. The players all say he's just a top manager, a top man, and someone they will run through a brick wall for. I think that has a lot of value.
I think Rowett, you just need to look at the disciplinary record under Rowett, and he basically coached Millwall out of those players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without getting yellows, without getting reds and all that. That is not the Millwall.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Away. The Millwall way is fucking the dark arts, the fucking dirty, aggressive. A bit like everyone on the radio today on TalkSport Radio was talking about, was it, is it Athletic, Atletico, who's into the Champions League, that no one wanted to play him.
And let's not agree.
It's Diego Simeone.
They play dirty football.
Aggression
and all that. And that is what Millwall is. And Millwall is all about those little 1%. And it's about creating that horrible atmosphere at the Den so that teams come in, know that it's horrible. Under Rowett, it was like, the most embarrassing thing apart from Rowett's football when Rowett was here was the fact that you had away fans going, that's actually not bad going to Millwall. It's all right. Do you know what I mean? That's the worst bit about it. What you want is to go. I mean, like now, we're going to Leeds on Sunday, right? Leeds is Leeds. Leeds is Leeds scary what it used to be? No, it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. But it's still going to be a hostile environment you're walking into. There will be groups, as one of the other show guys told me that, you know, if you go a wrong way from the station down the hill, there's allegedly loads of what he classes as chest wankers, where it basically looks like they've got a cock in their waist giving it all this. Do you know what I mean? And you're going to get them, but everyone's attitude towards Leeds is that it's a hostile environment. And that's what's come back to Millwall, because it creates that atmosphere. Unfortunately, we've lost all the pubs around Millwall, so you don't have the crowds, you know, outside the ground making it really hostile. But we've got, you know, the girls' exit for the away fans, so you basically walk down a little corridor on your own and all that lot. Do you know what I mean? But that's what Millwall's all about. Millwall needs to be aggressive, in your face, intimidating. We need to win the game before they've even got off that coach. On that Friday night, we need them worrying about, fuck, seeing how close we are to the fucking away, you know, see how close we are to the fans and all that. And do a Creswell, Ben Chigwell. Is it Chigwell?
Ben Chilwell.
You know, with him and going from there. But yeah, just one thing before you say, pinned to the top of the comments on YouTube is the link to the Match Day YouTube channel. And ideally, what we're looking to try and do going forward, if you do, you want to leave a voice message or you're at the game and you've got any videos or anything else, send your clips onto there. And then you'll find that hopefully over the next day or so, once you post them over the match time, you'll probably see them appear in some videos on social media. So if you want to get involved in some of the videos coming up, stuff for the show, stuff for other bits and pieces where we need, you know, footage as such, then yeah, please do get involved. And Bobby, leave your voice messages on there, mate. Just put them straight into the main group. It's basically there for you to carry on the conversation rather than sitting here for 2 hours where you get involved in the comments. It's giving you an option where all the lads are on there and we just keep it all going. Keep it sensible, obviously. Don't be a twat on there, but you can do it. Any Leeds fans, remember, I still can block you.
The thing is, this is what my point was, right? We don't sacrifice the complete idea of playing the game of football, but at the same time, have a bit of talent in that side and embrace what we're about, a bit of know-how, a bit of game management. I think, like, you know, players like Jed Wallace thrived at the Den for a reason. Like, he was a workhorse, but he also had a bit of talent. It's hard to find 11 players that can all do that, and I'm not stupid with that sense, but have 11 players in there that want to buy in what we're about and play for the manager, it will take you somewhere. It will. You'll do naturally better than what you should be doing because they all agree and want to be on the same bandwagon. Go on, Stephen.
This is what I was saying, though. If you've got 7 players in the first 11 that are playing under Neil Harris that are your Millwall, your grafters, your workhorses, those that never say die attitude, but you get that sprinkle of real individual quality. I know it's hard on a budget and I get you can't just go out and spend millions at other clubs, but if you can find a couple of players that can be difference makers alongside the grafters, then yes, 100%, that's how you get somewhere in this division under Neil Harris. It's just if you do, as I said, and I don't want to keep repeating it, but 11 players going out who are workhorses, that's where it becomes a little bit harder to really compete over 46 games.
100%. I do love where the fans join the chat because you can tell that they've obviously started watching. So yeah, when we were talking about Adam Warren, and the trouble is that they won't catch up to this part
for another hour
until
we'll be gone. We'll be gone.
And we'll be gone, and he won't be able to correct it. And he'll go, oh, the intro. So hello, Colin. Hope you're well. My final comment is phone running out. Harris, only man who can take this squad up there.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. 100%.
And that's why I've got to Sunday with a bit of hope. That's the only reason why. And Andy, thanks for your comments throughout today, mate. No, guys, appreciate it.
Bobby, I've put the link in the YouTube chat and it's pinned to the top. Click the link and then you'll be in the group. You fucking dumb stink.
I broke the seal, by the way. I'm scared to go to the toilet again because I'm going to get told off by Mickey, but I broke the seal there.
Fucking
away that year. Right on Sunday, mate. I'm going to make you stop five times on the way up on Sunday for a beer.
You fucking ain't.
Out of interest, obviously moving, I'm assuming we'll be moving towards the game on Sunday now, but...
Well, we talked about it at the beginning, but we're doing now, yeah.
The 11, well, the team. I was going to move on to the team. So last week, he made three changes. Obviously, a couple of them were enforced. Out of the 11 that started last week against Birmingham, mm-hmm. how many of them retain their place?
I think he keeps the same side, you know. But me personally. What was the team last week? It was Sarkic,
Leonard,
Cooper...
Tango,
Joe Bryan, middle two of Mitchell and Saville, Honeyman on the left.
No, Honeyman started on the right. It was one more
on the left, and then Fleming and Obafemi. I think it's an unchanged 11 personally.
I would switch out Duncan Watmore personally.
Get your comments in. Give us your predictions in the chat. Gotcha.
I think it would be, I would go with the same 10, but I would switch out Duncan Watmore. I think he's better coming on than what he is starting, personally.
I agree a little bit, but who would you bring in instead for him? This is the question. Who would you bring in instead?
Do you know what? I would probably think about putting Honeyman over on the left-hand side, because I think he can use both feet and bring Norton Cuffey in. Norton Cuffey.
I think he might even consider, I think also there's an option. I think we spoke about it on the way back. From Blackburn, I think he might even think about having Joe Bryan left wing and bring Danny Mack in at left back.
That could work. That could work. Because Bryan, again, I know he's not the best defensively, but would have more. And then going forward.
Where did you go?
I don't know. It just went black.
You just cut straight out then. I don't know.
It just, the whole screen went. Anyway.
We were here. You weren't. You just suddenly disappeared. So, yeah.
I think Bryan defensively would be able to help Danny, but going forward probably has a little bit more quality on the ball to create a chance or score a goal.
That's why I think it would work, oddly. If there's ever a game for it, it might be Sunday. I am going to go to Ludo, lads, so I'll be back in a second. So you guys are taking the comments. I need a slash again, so I broke the seal. And where's Chris' comment? He's saying, I'm going to fall off my chair. I've had four beers. I'm all right, but I broke the seal. So I'll be back.
How long do you need?
What, to go piss?
Yeah.
Time me. I don't know.
So we're going to show...
What are you going to do?
Some goals. You've got 2.5. ...when they felt the full force of Millwall's power on New Year's Day. And now maybe Millwall can launch something. Alex Ray took it for one for Goodman. They're chasing Goodman. It's through. John Goodman. 1-1. Brilliant save. Martin turning around the corner. I can tell you this is onside. Ray is onside. He's got the ball through to Vivier. Can he turn? Brilliant. Just needs that cross and he's made it. It's going to be in. There it is. It's Goodman. 50 minutes gone. It was a brilliant piece of skill from Etienne Vivier. No one had broken the deadlock. And the ball came down the right. Ray did superbly, found Vivier. Kept his head. He knew there was a chance, steadied. Got in onto the left then, got it back onto the right again. And look at the precision of this cross. Martin has no chance. And Goodman gets up and heads, and Martin has no chance. It's Millwall 1, Crystal Palace 0. And the Lions are ahead, and now the atmosphere in the stadium is electric. Another Millwall corner, and Palace are up against it now. Up goes Stevens. Vivier hits the crossbar! Is it in? It is! It is! And I think Vivier will claim that one for himself. Brilliant piece of skill from the Millwall number 8. And Millwall are 2-up. The corner came in. It was the corner that did all the damage. Put Palace immediately under pressure. The header came forward in the end. It was the number 8 that did it. And that overhead from Bavir, it went in. And trying to clear it off the line was Barry, but it was already over. That was Etienne Bavir. And it's Millwall 2, Crystal Palace 0. The league leaders being beaten. Alex Ray
Goodman, scorer of the first goal. Committee turning with Christian. It's a penalty! It's a penalty, and Mill got the chance to go three ahead. Mitchell's turn, just completely flat-footed Young. You'll see this ball come in again. There it was. He completely turned his man. He was floored. He was floored, and there's no doubt that it was a penalty. Absolutely no doubt at all. Alex Ray, of course, will take the penalty kick and the chance to make it 3-0. Which he does. Alex Ray has done. It's a fantastic time for Millwall. And not a very good time for the league leaders. He took it very quickly. And it's Riotsville here at the Den. Marvellous stuff.
You see? Those toilets at the Den, mate, are a nightmare, aren't they? You just can't get them, do you know what I mean?
I do. I tell you what, though. Obviously, some of those old clips, and you look at the old goals and stuff, and I love watching them because it's like, even looking at the Den there, it's so different. Even just today, it just looks different, but it's not really changed that much, but it has at the same time.
Yeah, how blue do the seats look in the cold blue lane? But I saw something on there that you can put them back to the original colour with a blowtorch.
There's a trick that goes. There's a video, isn't there, on YouTube? Yeah, the guy that goes around. I think one of the stadium. He does it. I think it's red seats. Whoever it is, it's red seats. He goes around and cleans a load of them up. They look quite good, actually.
That's it. We'll see. So yeah, get in the comments and give us your score predictions. God, he's back. Yeah, get your predictions in. We're going to fucking seal this up. Remember, if you want to get involved in the group, it is a grown-up group. And please make sure that you understand that. There are nasty words on there. And there is lots and lots of banter. But all the lads are on there, and it's just a way that you can keep hold of the conversation. And then normally what we do is on there, if you go in there, you'll find that there's other groups in there for the Sunday Night Live and the Friday Night Live, where hopefully going forward, especially next season, you can send voicemail. You can send voice messages in rather than you commenting. You can send voice messages in, and then we just play your voice messages live during the shows or videos or whatever it is. So, again, post-match, you want to leave a voicemail, give us what your views are, give us your a video, whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. That's where we're hoping to go. And obviously next season we've got some more little tricks up our sleeve. There we go. That's where one of you boys speaks, yeah? Because having dead air on a show is really bad.
Yeah, that's all right, mate. I'm just mesmerised by your quality hosting skills as always, mate. So
that's all right. You're a cheeky cunt. But anyway, let's go back to some of these, by the way. let's go to some of these comments. Stephen, Chris Brown wants to know, I guess fielders don't train then?
That comes when we do outdoor training. Indoors, it's not. No fielding indoors.
David Squire wants to know, Stephen, could you give us a demonstration of your batting skills with a rolled up newspaper, please?
No, because I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here, but I'm wearing shorts. If I stand up in shorts, I'm going to get absolutely caned by the comments.
So am I, by the way. So, yeah, right. So am I.
You might get someone slide your DMs. Never know.
That's it. Here you go, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to that.
Stephen, can you maybe get us in the nets one time then, and we'll make some 100%. Content? We'll see who's the best batter.
Now, hold on. Wait. Hold on that. Ben, obviously from the podcast, and Mickey is aware of this, and Omar, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing a charity cricket game. So if there are anyone in the chat that would like to play, either you can be on Ben's side, you can be on my team, however you want to do it.
They're paying for it, though, because it's all for charity.
Yeah, it's for charity. We'll sort out the finer details, but if anybody would want to play,
come and join in.
And
it's going to be for a charity close to our hearts because I've already got approval by them. So we will announce where the charity is soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it will be. And it will be hopefully a weekend date, and it will be on a proper cricket pitch, and there will be beers.
A bar.
And I think Monica might make some sandwiches for us.
100%. 100%.
And I'll have a go. It'll be a laugh, mate.
My only requirement is if I'm on the byline, I want to be on the byline fielding, and I just need to have a pint in my hand.
That's fine, mate. What I want to see is you have about five or six and then come out to bat. That's what I want to see.
I'm there for it. Let's go.
Well, that could be dangerous, couldn't it? Yeah. We'll have
to do pad it up, mate, and I've got a helmet, I'll be all right. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, me and you, I'll have a go at that. So, yeah. At least I don't think... What's the fastest one of your bowlers? Well, to be fair, I don't think there'd be any super class bowlers here. So, you're probably not going to get more than about 40, 50 mile an hour, maybe. So, it's
a bit quicker than that. A little bit quicker than that.
How much quicker can you bowl?
A little bit quicker than that.
Underarm.
That'd be a good game, wouldn't it? Underarm.
Here we go. Here's one for you. Andy put earlier on question. Would you be happy winning next season but playing like we did against Southampton?
If we're winning, 100%.
Oh, mate, I'll be honest with you. If we won every game 1-0 and had one shot on target but got promoted, I'd take it all day long. All day long. But the only concern I have is that if you then stopped winning playing that way, what would happen then? But if you could say to me now, win every game, take it hands down.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Andrew Roberts says, board have to keep Harris as we've no money to replace players out of contracts and he has to bring the under-21s in. Otherwise, what other manager do we go for? I don't think there is any other manager apart from Warnock, really. Relegation.
I can't proclaim to know about the Football League, but there's plenty of managers out there doing good jobs. And like, I'm not. You want if you either go for a young coach that's in the lower leagues, or you go, you know, there's managers out there though. I always had this argument when I was younger, like thinking, who would you replace him for? What would you do? There's always replacements out there, but it's just trying to find someone that meets the right criteria.
That is a very good thing. There is always a replacement out there. Right. So yeah, no, I'll get that.
What are you trying to say, right?
I'm just saying that it is. We are loved up with obviously Harris, and I think that some days. We are sort of thinking, going, well, who do you want? And it's, you know, we always look at the named managers as such or the named people when actually there's probably quite a lot of undiscovered talent who could probably do a good job.
I thought you were trying to say Stephen's days are numbered in this podcast.
No, yours are.
I own half this.
Yeah, that backfired.
Not really. I was just thinking that, yeah, we always think of like superstar managers, but yeah, there could be a League Two manager or even lower who, you know, I mean, look at Alan Dunn. Alan Dunn's in at Bromley.
I'd take Andy Woodman. Do you know what? If you told me we'd get rid of Harris, we'd give Andy Woodman a chance. I'd give Andy Woodman a chance from Bromley. I'd give him a go. I would, you know. His credibility is not necessarily extended to the Championship, but if you told me we're going to get Andy Woodman in for a season to have a go, I'd back it. I'd have a go.
You'd have, what's his name from Woking.
Mark White. Mate, listen, as long as I think this is a big thing, though. I don't actually really think Mark White could do a good job for Millwall. But what I'm trying to get at is why Harris has come back and done so well. It's not so much about the football. To be a Millwall manager or Millwall head coach, as it is nowadays, you've got to be a character. You've got to be someone that can take a lot on your own shoulders and not reflect it onto the players. Edwards, what in my eyes, done wrong, was criticise the players and try to defer the blame off him. Even though he was the leader, throw it off himself. But if you could shoulder all that responsibility and take it on your own self and go, listen, it's all about myself because I'm the one that's going to take the credit and the blame, that's fine. But don't take the credit and then try to defer the blame away afterwards because that's what Edwards
is doing. I think Harris as well, didn't he? There was a comment was made at him and Liverpool when they were signing the contracts that Harris went, right, it's my problem now, not yours.
Correct.
And that's exactly, he's taking it personally and he's taking the brunt of the criticism and also the praise, because I do think it's important that you don't just absolutely slag Harris off when we're playing poorly. You give him the praise in the good times as well. But he's basically just said, right, I'm going to take the brunt of the fan base. Correct. Off of your backs, go and play football.
And in hindsight, I really think Edwards did do that. I think Edwards would, when we won, Edwards on the pitch giving it some and try to take the credit. Yeah. And I really want Edwards to work. But after the games when it didn't work, it was individual mistakes.
Yeah, which is true. Numbers. But, you know, sometimes these players can't take the truth, mate. So, yeah. Dan Riggs, the Dark Fruit King, says, what other manager can get the Dem rattled up like Harris can? No one. Rowick didn't like the Millwall chaos.
Neil Warnock could get Millwall. I reckon Neil Warnock could get the Millwall crowd going. Or Chris
Wilder.
I've always looked at Chris Wilder and thought he could be a Millwall manager.
If we had Neil Warnock about, I would say, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, now maybe not so much, but if you had him back then, I've just seen a comment that's just come through. I'm sure the guys are going to... Yeah, I know. Who do we think this fella supports? Who do we think this?
Oh, is it on the comments? Is it? Richard Widowson. Wow.
He's just missing on the MOT March On Together. He's missing on that bit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Delusional. Because what we're going to do on a podcast is just come on and say that we're going to get battered 8-0. That's exactly what we're going to do, aren't we?
One second. We'll come back to it in 2 seconds. I'm just putting in the chat the bit what we've done the other day for another show. So if you want to get involved in there, it's a Google form. You can put 5 suggestions in. It's basically it's the best Millwall managers who have never managed. Best Millwall managers that have never managed Millwall. So just go in there and give us some people that you think would be the good one and go. And this would be for a future show. So again, it's on the comments. Just get in. So where's this fucking knobhead gone? There it is. Richard.
Good evening, Richard.
Does your mum know you're getting involved in grown-up conversation? It's 5 to 10 nearly, mate. And I don't know if you're done. And by the way, mill scum. Yeah, okay. Dirty fucking weeds. I'll go to bed, mate. I will go to bed, mate, because you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat at the weekend, mate. Just get there, yeah. Your whippet needs walking, fella. There's a cock in his chest.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you reckon? Let's be honest then. What's our predictions for Sunday? Stephen, I've not heard you give a prediction yet. What is your honest prediction? We're starting to wind up. What do you reckon on Sunday? Go, tell me your head first, then give me your heart.
We're living rent free.
Well, I've got 2 answers for you. I've got 1-1, which is what is probably the realistic answer. Mm-hmm. But I've got a vision of Ryan Leonard scoring a winner late and running over to the away end. I've got it in my head after
the
last couple of performances.
Joe Martin taking a free kick against Bradford.
Oh, mate, don't. I'm not as confident, but honestly, I've just been thinking about it the last couple of days. I honestly can see Ryan Leonard scoring a winner late or later.
About Joe Martin free kick? I think
I did it on my Who Are You?
Mick, have you heard this story about Joe Martin scoring a free kick against Bradford?
No, I was telling everyone that Joe Martin was going to score a free kick in the playoffs. Put quite a few quid on it, won some money. Omar doesn't necessarily believe the story.
But honestly, I'd been
telling everyone all week in the build-up to that first playoff game that Joe Martin was going to score a free kick. We had one opportunity. As soon as he put the ball down, everyone that was around me, obviously I had my dad and some friends with me, but everybody around me knew that I had this bet on. Ball down, top corner. So literally anyone in the chat, I've got previous for this, money on Ryan Leonard to score the winner on Sunday is coming in.
1-0 Millwall scorecast, is that what we're saying? 1-0 Millwall Leonard, yeah? Is that what you're going for?
Millwall to win, Ryan Leonard to score.
You've got to put a tenner on that.
Oh, mate, I honestly don't know. I've just got, obviously the realistic answer is we're going to go there and play for a point. And I'd be happy with that, but there's always that inkling. And it's Harris, isn't it? It's Harris. He's making me believe. He's making me believe we're going there and we're gonna do it.
That's
so
it. That's the way I sum it up. It's the belief.
1-1 realistic, 1-0 Ryan Leonard with a winner.
My realistic is 2-0 Leonard. But my heart says 1-0 Millwall. And that's what I said the other night. I'm gonna stick to it. 1-0 Millwall.
Don't add me in.
But yeah, I think 1-0 Millwall is, my head says we're probably going to lose. We might concede early, then we're going to grind out a 2-0 defeat. But my heart goes 1-0 Millwall and Cooper's going to get his first goal of the season. There you go.
I'll take that.
I think you're probably right. I think Cooper could get a win. Mate, we're getting some. Where are we? So let's just go through some of these because it's, I guess his mum's hidden the Freeman's catalogue. I wonder if the Weeds fans will come in here Sunday if we beat them. Oh, I reckon we'll be inundated with them on Sunday night, mate. 9 o'clock, by the way, for those watching.
You're going to do this on Sunday, mate, when we get back.
Stephen and Jay is.
Yeah, we are. So we're going to get absolutely peppered by Leeds forward.
Just send us a link and we're coming.
Oh yeah, we'll. Yeah, we will. We will.
If Leonard scores, win there. Betty cried when Jimmy Savile croaked. Oh, well, yeah, okay. The start is the way to go, on, shall we?
Go on, Stephen. What's Jake Cooper's score header on Sunday?
I'm just trying. To score a header.
Oh, look, someone's come on with Richard's mum. Richard, I've told you to stop acting a twat on YouTube. Now come here and I'll do that thing you like. Do you know what? You have to take your hat off to whoever set that account up and set it up double quick.
Quick time.
And done it, mate. That is absolutely...
Jake Cooper's score header on Sunday is 28-1, by the way.
Wow. What about Jake Cooper and Leonard to score? And Millwall
hold on.
2-0.
Ryan Leonard to score any time on Sunday is 33-1. I'm telling you, lads.
Anytime.
Get on it. I'm telling you, you got to. And he's because, and you know, with Leonard, he's got that ability from just outside the edge of the box to absolutely belt it in the top corner. I'm telling you, mate. On it, you got to get on it. You can all thank me on Sunday when you've all won a load of money when Ryan Leonard lashes one in the top corner.
Oh, mate, I've got delirious that happens up there, what? Mate. Draw some odds. Show me some odds to you, mate.
Hold on a minute, Omar. What are you looking at? Because Jake, what did you say was the score a header?
It was 28.
He's 25s just to score any time. You better off.
Jonathan Fraser, say one of the lads, and you have got yourself a key ring, fella. He's changed it.
Jonathan Fraser. Oh, what a dead. That's worthy of. If we do an end of season awards, that's got to be nominated for something, isn't it? You know, we were doing the end of season awards.
Also, Alan Campbell is more likely to score on Sunday than Ryan Leonard. Just put that one out there.
He's more likely to score, according to this list, than Billy Mitchell, Norton Cuffey, Joe Bryan, Murray White.
Here you go. Yeah. I got 2,000-1 before Southampton that Wall win in playoffs.
Oh, no.
Andy, you've commented really well tonight, mate, but I don't think I can support that one, I'm afraid.
I've done a little quick bit of editing here, chaps, while you two were talking. Do you want to see what I've done before we end?
Go for it.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to get hammered here. It's obvious.
No, I just thought that, you know, with the Leeds fan in the chat, we needed this.
Is it me, or did they miss a highlight from Leeds' first goal, don't they? I'm sure there's just two goals there.
No, three goals Leeds scored.
But did they show all three, or just two? Yeah,
there's three goals.
How bad was Archer? Like, mate, Archer.
Oh, no, that was awful. The second goal was just terrible.
Mate,
I don't know, though. Good old Hutchinson, Cooper, and George Saville there, who will be, all be in the squad on Sunday.
Yeah, and someone commented
that Jake Cooper to score a hat trick. I did look it up. The odds on that are 500-1.
Save your money. That's all going to happen Sunday.
Cooper to score a hat trick, two for Millwall and one for the other team.
Mate, when I get to Bermondsey on Sunday night, I'll be running down the blue naked. I'll have to
say that. Stephen, if Leonard scores to win a Sunday, I'll let you shag my wife. Don't think
let him.
Mind either.
Let him. Let Leonard, not me.
I volunteer a tribute.
Oh, I let him. Sorry. Harry, dear. Look.
Harris, look. Colin, it's brilliant. He's still here. Yeah.
Come on, then. I think 1-0
You know what? We're going to get to... Colin's going to get to this part of the video and go, oh, fuck. Sorry, mate. But you've had the entertainment. So then, gents, we're going to do it this way. Stephen, what's your final comments, mate? Any final thoughts?
safe travels to those going up. You boys going up on Sunday. Unfortunately, not able to do this one, but I will be doing the live Sunday night after Leeds. Probably going to get a few Leeds supporters in the.
You're going to do 9 or you're going to do 8?
I'll talk to Jay and we'll get it out early enough so everyone knows what time it'll be. 8 or 9 o'clock. We'll see. Safe travels. I hope it's really worth the journey up there. And as I say, 33-1. Leonard, anytime. That's it from me. Come on, you Lions.
You know, even if we lose 4-1, I'll say my last piece, Mickey. Even if we lose 4-1 and Leonard scores the one, I'm on the Leonard anytime boat. Let's do it.
That is it. I think we're gonna go to Leeds. We're gonna fucking tear it up, and we're gonna win. And we.
Oh, giddy up and get away. Oh, we're going Millwall, and we're going today. Here we go.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.